Hey, all you Big Brother fans, thank you again for joining House Party, a Big Brother podcast. This week, we're going to go over the first three episodes of season 20 of Big Brother. As always, I'm Ryan Duvall. Joined with me is Andrew Cox. And hey, come everybody. Join us as we start the House Party. So, our first week of season 20, Andrew, what do you think?
I think we're off to a pretty good start here. I'm enjoying the cast. We got some interesting characters. There's some rough spots. There's some stuff I'm not super into, but I think the feeds have been pretty good. And hopefully we can maintain the momentum we've got so far.
I agree. I think the cast is definitely worthy of a good season so far. So we'll just start with episode one. It was a 2-hour premiere, and the first hour was great. And then the second hour, that competition just seemed to drag on and on. And to be quite honest with you, I really wasn't sure what was happening because the rules weren't explained very well, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a total mess, really. It dragged on, and there was too many moving parts with, like, there's like all these different competitions going on, and I don't know.
It seemed unfair because how can you split the house in half and just say you're doing this competition and then you are doing this other completely different competition for you guys? It seems like you would have, if not two rounds of the same competition and not two different competitions.
That was my exact same thought, because it's one thing to have these competitions where half the house ends up being safe. I'm not a huge fan of those right off the bat anyway, but, and especially when we'll talk about the punishment later on, like to have it be essentially just up to random which competition you got, and the competitions were completely different. Like one was basically just luck, like crawling around in a dark room, see what you can find, you know, and the other one was a skill-based physical challenge of stacking these things. So yeah, it was not, I didn't think it was a particularly fair setup.
My thoughts exactly. And the fact that Swaggy C won, in my opinion, if I were in the game, and I'm sure you would probably think the same way, is why on earth would you choose to win this challenge of all challenges so you can pick half of the house to alienate yourself with? Because you're saying, you're drawing a line and saying, this half of the house, I'm not going to save you. And I don't think that was a very smart move on his part. That will come back to haunt him.
No, yeah, because he came in saying that he wanted to, you know, win something right off the bat and, you know, get trust from all the different sections of the house and be playing everybody. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it was a very smart move. And I mean, I don't really like when they do this with having to choose a safety. I mean, this is basically what happened last season, having to half the house be safe right off the bat, because now when you get the HOH in there, they're so limited in the options of who they can put up that it just, I don't know, it forces like drama that there could already be drama, but now it's kind of forcing your hand a little bit. Like Tyler, he can only choose from so many people.
Right. And the ending of episode one, where Swaggy had to pick the other seven house guests that would be safe alongside him, that was not explained very well. I was on the house party. We both were. We were on the BB House Party Twitter, and we were live tweeting it. And I sent out a tweet thinking I was explaining the rules as I understood them. Come to find out, I wasn't correct at all. The way that I understood it was that he had to pick four people from each side of the entry point of the house. So two people from every four of the groups that went in. That's how I understood it. And then come to find out as I watched, I was confused as hell the whole time. Cause then I just realized, oh, he's picking the group that he was in and then another group of four.
Right. Well, that's what he just ended up doing because he thought it would be the most fair was just like the eight people that entered at the same time as him, like including himself. So the seven other people.
So he could have done the two.
He could have, yeah, I think he could have done, I don't know if it was separated by particular groups or if he could just do any eight. I think it was by the groups, but it was any of the four like units that came in there together.
Right.
Because that's why the other people wanted him to make them safe. Like, I don't think they just chose those each other because of like that randomly. Like, they all came in at the same time.
Right. Well, so after that episode, do you have anything else to add to that episode? That episode flew by.
It did. And it will, it, I mean,
content like, wise, at least
I just felt like there was, I don't know, it was a 2 hour episode with like 1 hour of actual content. I mean, the commercials were insane and the competitions. I don't know why they insist on doing these trapped in the dark competitions, especially on a premiere night. Like, it's the most boring one to watch. Like, and it just goes on and on.
Right.
And it couldn't be less entertaining, but
right. And you had to you know, waste a full hour on just the intro of the house guests in the first spot. You have to say go through all 16 of them. That takes up a good chunk of time. And
I mean,
then
yeah,
you actually get started.
But I mean, I didn't mind every, that. So how much, so after just that one episode, like how did any of your opinions change on some people that you had in the beginning from just like episode one?
No, but they did change on episode two. They did.
Well, let's get into that.
So we want to go right on into two?
Yeah.
All right. Well, as I stated in the previous episode, the people I was most excited to see was Winston and Sam. And during the first hour of the premiere, I liked Sam. And then the second hour, once she got her punishment for losing, she came a little unhinged. And, you know, I do feel bad for her. I understand. But at the same time, like, you can't, if you want to win, you know, acting like that doesn't help your chances at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people are feeling, but at the same time, I mean, I definitely feel for her. Like, this is probably the worst punishment like they've ever
done.
Yeah,
it really does set you back. I mean, and I feel bad for Casey too. I mean, to be, you know, shunned away. She's not being shunned away as nearly as badly as Sam is, but to be, you know, forced to stay in a room by herself while everyone else is, you know, getting to know each other, especially this is very harmful in week one because you don't get many first impressions and you really miss out.
I mean, exactly. And it's 2 weeks. I mean, and that whole segment when it was like, oh, throwing a pity party for Casey, I was like, you got to be kidding me, really. Like, they're not even comparable. Like, and they were essentially given at random. So she could have gotten another one that Sam got. And I'm just like, you are out there. You're a person. Your punishment is sitting on a couch for, you can't move for a little bit. I mean, she's in there in like a, she's probably in a room by herself, like controlling this robot. And all she can see is a screen. And she can't like whisper or she can't see behind her. It's like, she's basically not even there.
Yeah. I mean, like, how easily she can be overlooked with this punishment. And so it didn't really come to me as a surprise that she was nominated in the end. She was the easiest target to pick. But as a viewer, I was kind of upset because I did like her and I do feel bad for her, but she wasn't handling it well. And to a certain extent, maybe because I do like her, maybe it is best that she does leave because it's really screwing with her. Sadly to say.
I mean, she's not going anywhere, but I don't know. To me, it's like this basically, you know, last season we had day one eviction with Cameron, and this is, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about how she gets the power, but like, and that was almost a shoe-in basically from the edit she's getting on TV. But to me, if you're going to do this, I mean, that's basically a day one eviction. Now she has to, you know, go 2 weeks, but pretending to be a robot before she leaves. I mean, like, why even do that?
Well, all right. So in the second episode we had another comp, and I don't know about you, but this one in particular, I really liked. I liked the player sabotage challenge because it really starts getting the dramatics rolling. It starts the fights. Now people have things to be mad at each other about. And so I liked that. I liked the very close one-on-one competition in the end with Bailey and Tyler. That was a little close, in my opinion. I'm glad he pulled it out because Bailey is not likable. I don't know if it's her edit or what, but the way when she does her diary rooms, nothing about her comes off as genuine or just a decent human being.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it comes off a little bit more in the edit because we are seeing the diary rooms, but I think it also on the feeds and in the house, they've kind of had the same feeling, especially because everyone's aware of her and Swaggy as basically a showmance, even though they pretend like it's not. But yeah, I thought like the competition. Let me ask you this. What did you think about the strategy of going for the like weak competitors in this competition first? To me, that didn't really make any
logical sense. Like,
he is spending 20 minutes, he can't get a single ball. Why are you going to knock him out? Because then if you knock out the strong people, whoop-de-doo, now you just have to get the balls faster than Steve, you know?
Right. And I thought the same thing. Steve couldn't stand up straight.
Right. I mean, I didn't think he got a single ball in there. So, and I guess they just wanted to not.
I think they were, like I think everyone else was scared to make the first blow.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. They were
surprising to me.
I mean, that really essentially was their first chance to take a stab at each other. And so I think people were trying to avoid it as long as they could. And once someone took the first blow against Steve, I guess everyone just kind of had the mob mentality and said, all right, I don't want to be the first one to go against the tide. So everyone followed suit is the only thing that I can think of. But no, I definitely wouldn't have thought, let's get out Steve because, you know, he'll win this. Yeah, that didn't make too much sense to me. But Tyler did end up winning, and with that, he had essentially only half the house, not even half the house, because some of the house he was now aligned with. So he had a very small group to pick, and still yet he picks the two easiest targets of the house, being a robot and the 40-year-old man.
I mean, I knew this was going to happen to Steve. Hopefully he doesn't go home this week, but it's not a surprise. And I think it's the smart move, honestly. Like, everyone's like, oh, we got to go for the big targets, but it's not a good idea right now to do that. So,
I mean, the thing is, Tyler has an alliance of six people. I mean, he could nominate whoever he wanted, and he could easily get the votes in his favor if he wanted.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't matter because, I mean, next week he doesn't get a play, and then there's all the other side of the house that honestly they think that he's in with them too. So he's in a good spot right now in the
exactly. In so the he middle. Could.
So
I mean,
needs
well,
no reason to, you know, put up a, I don't know, Swaggy or Caitlin or something.
Well, I will say that his level six alliance is one of the best competing alliances I think we're going to see because they have all of their areas covered in that alliance. I think I saw that alliance and I thought, man, that's a good group. I feel like they got all the big personalities into one group, and I think that's going to come back, and I think they'll use it to their advantage. I think they'll get pretty far. I'll call it now.
I'm gonna say maybe they won't make it too far. Well,
you think they'll implode?
I think Winston will be the downfall. So
really,
yeah,
he seems to be the one that has his head on straight.
He's getting a little intense.
You think he's playing a little too hard, too quick?
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. So you think that Tyler made the right decision with his nominations?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Especially now that from Sunday's episode with the App Store. I think he can use that to his advantage. So I don't think it was going to make a lot of sense because he couldn't even put up. I mean, like, if he wanted to put up Swaggy, he couldn't because he's safe. If he wanted to put up, there's too many people that were.
I think an easy target would have been Bailey.
He didn't have any option. I think his move was perfectly fine. Like, nobody's going to be upset that Sam's on there except for Sam. And then it's Steve, you know. And then they were the first ones out of the competition, of course, but that's partially on everybody else. But
speaking of that, the competition that was played, I had a little throwback moment to last Celebrity Big Brother season because Angela is playing just aggressive physically, and she's already getting a target on herself. So it reminded me of last season when Elizabeth just like came out of the gate full force, and then it was her downfall. So, you know, I like Angela. Hopefully she doesn't have the same fate. So hopefully maybe she'll pull it back a little bit, maybe hide in the shadows for a week so she doesn't get any more attention on herself.
Hopefully. I mean, Angela's not really doing too much for me at the moment. I hope she can, I don't know. She's just kind of there, but
I think she'll come to shine.
I need some more Scotty. He was basically not existent in Thursday's episode.
I think that's part of his strategy though. I think he'll surprise us.
Oh yeah.
He'll be like
I think he's playing one of the
Steve
games,
or right? Somebody. Yeah.
He's going to be safe for a while.
And one note that I made that I hope is not a trend for this season, but the cheesy effects that have been blatant this season, just, I mean, like, I understand the tech puns and the theme and everything, but we don't need to have people, you know, disappear and jump cuts and, you know, have flashing lights and all that. If we can just, like, not do all those theatrics, I would appreciate it.
I mean, it's definitely like turned up a notch this season. I mean, they always do it, but it's because of the tech thing. They're really driving it home. But I wish they would tone it down. I enjoyed the one when they were doing yoga and they were like, had the laser beam going to her. But I did not like
that. That must have been a slow week in that house for that to be chosen to be in the 1 hour show. But one thing that happened in that episode that I didn't think I would ever have to say during the season is that Rockstar said something that I completely agreed with. She's the one who came up to Tyler and said, the worst move is to nominate Steve or Sam, which was just the opposite of what Bailey suggested. And I was like, all right, Rockstar, maybe you do have your head on straight despite your appearance. And Tyler didn't bite. And that surprised me. I really thought that maybe he'd make a power move.
I mean, well, Rockstar, I feel like she was definitely playing it up her character in before the season started. She's a lot better than I was expecting, so I'm glad for that, especially since she was on my draft. But
still early.
Yeah, it's still early, but she's not a total dud. I thought she might be, you know, first out or something. I think she can coast for a while. But you know, I really don't blame Tyler on this at all. I mean, especially with this 2 week HOH he's got to go through right now, and now with the twist, I mean, this is basically what happened to Cody spinning, you know.
Right. Yeah.
If you make the wrong decision and you're HOH this long and you get the wrong person out, now everyone's mad at you and now you're not safe anymore.
Yep. I mean, we'll have to see what happens, but I do think it's interesting. I'm looking at our teams that we chose, and Steve is on your team.
Yeah.
Sam is on mine. So we'll see who gets ahead between the two of us next Wednesday.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if nobody goes home this week, which would be really, would just be a bummer, because that just does a number on the pacing. And I mean, this season is already going to be 99 days. They only have 16 people. It's inevitable that there's going to be, you know, a few weeks where nobody goes home, or like if nobody goes home this week and then there's a bye back later. I mean, that's to be expected, but to have it be in the first week, I mean.
Well, speaking of which, that brings us into the third episode where the BB App Store was finally used and Sam was given the power of a extra life, essentially. So we do know that there will be a comeback program within the next 4 weeks. So somebody will come back.
Right. Or yeah, that's for just never leave or whatever. The twist, the wording on the power was a little, it was a little unclear as to how it was going to work, but yeah.
One thing that I wish they would have done was that they would have read out the options as to what they were, instead of just giving us an icon and what it's called, and then just like us, like essentially guessing what the hell that could mean. I mean, especially for Fessy, he somehow got least popular house guest. I don't know. I mean, that surprised me. I don't know about you. That surprised me. And then he picked the Amazon punishment. Well, he's Muslim. He can't eat ham. So that just doesn't make any sense. And I think if he would have known that before he picked, he probably wouldn't have picked it.
Well, yeah, but you don't want them to know, because then they'll know about
they're all punishments.
Well, for the punishments, I suppose that's no big deal, but you wouldn't want them to know about the power-ups.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that next week when we visit the App Store, it'll be a whole slew of new apps. I don't think it'll be like, okay, now we're down to four of them. Now we're down to three.
Really?
You don't think so?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be the same exact ones. Yeah. I mean, this is just care packages, you know?
Yeah.
Except we don't get to choose which one they get. They get to choose. Because this is only going to last a few weeks. They're not. This is going to end in with however many apps there.
The fourth week with that buyback.
But
yeah,
they are sending. It's Veggie Ham. They're sending him. So
yeah,
that happens.
I guess it's nice that they were prepared. But I was really. Because Swaggy C went in there with such confidence that he thought he was going to get it. And the way that it was edited, I thought that he was going to get it. And what a sigh of relief that I had when he didn't get it. Because he's cocky. I don't like him. He's on my team, so I somewhat have to support him. But he's one of the, I don't like that he talks to himself. I think he's just doing that for the extra camera time, which is working. But I was so glad that he didn't get it. And Fessy definitely surprised me that he did. Sam, I wasn't shocked that she did get it because I think that the victim card was kind of played in her favor. So I think people emotionally helped her out.
Yeah, she was definitely the who I most suspected was going to get it. I thought the bit with Swag in there was hilarious when he found out that he didn't win. He like leaned up against the machine and was like just staring at like what, and the camera like just framed
that dramatic shot of the mirror.
I mean, I enjoy him though. I think he's entertaining. So,
I mean, I don't think that helps his cause though. Like, does that make you want to vote for him?
No.
So I don't think after that, he probably won't ever get it. So, hey, you know, sit in the grave that you dug yourself. I don't see him getting it ever. And I hope he doesn't.
He probably won't, but.
But during that episode, there was another alliance that was formed. And this is going against the level 6 alliance. This is probably my least favorite alliance that has ever been formed because it really is. It seems like the group of misfits. And I hate the name. And I really, if you ask me to pronounce it, I don't think I could because everybody sounded different when they said it. But I think it's Faute.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
And I don't see that alliance getting too far. I think they'll crack heads before they get anything done.
So you think the other group will just, I mean, dominate?
I think level 6 is stacked. They have, you know, Brett the Douche, and they have a lot of other physical threats, and then they also have some people who are mentally fit. So I think that they have their bases covered, and I think they can pull it out.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I do think that the Faute alliance has a little more chance of cracking or crumbling, but there's also a decent amount of people in the middle that either side can sort of use to their advantage, or if these do fracture, as they probably inevitably will within a couple of weeks, then new ones will form with some of these people in the middle, like Steve or Scotty or JC. If Steve stays,
going
please on, please.
If Steve stays,
he's an old man character. I need someone over 30.
Well, we still have to play for the veto. We don't know who will get the veto. And even then, well, we still have to get the vote, and the vote's still up in the air.
So
they have played it.
I don't want to go into spoilers right now, but yeah, they've played it.
Yes. But for the audience at home, it hasn't, quote unquote, happened yet.
No.
So time will tell. But that being said, looking at the live feeds, there are a lot of things that don't make the cut. Many of which are the incidents that happen inside the house that maybe the show isn't very proud of. And that being some scandals. And there's already, we're in week one, getting into two, and we already have two scandals. So first one is our little man JC is apparently groping people with an ice cream scooper, of all things. And then second is we have some racially charged remarks, which is no stranger to this show, as we've seen in season 15. So we have that to deal with. So we'll see if that ever becomes of anything.
Not surprising at all. Especially the thing about JC, no offense, but you know, I totally suspected as much. No.
If anything, we won't see it in the edit of the show, but it may reflect the voting of the App Store. Because the people who are voting and getting people to trend are the same people who are usually watching the live feeds. So they are most likely aware of what's happening, and their decisions will reflect that.
Probably, yeah, probably.
So we'll see. Because, but going into this, how do you feel about the rest of the season? This is just week one. We still got plenty more to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good about it. Hopefully it keeps the pace. I don't want there to be too much, you know, dead weeks, like, you know, people coming back or staying. I mean, that's obviously, we already talked about it. It's inevitable with the 99 days. But, you know, so what did you, do you think she will, do you think Sam will go out and have to use it this week? Or do you think that they will figure something out and so she can hold on to it for 4 weeks and potentially use it to save someone else, like Tyler, if she needed to?
Well, I hope that she won't have to use it. And if she can, the problem is when you are nominated in week one, you will essentially stay nominated because people have already burned that bridge and they know that it's okay to nominate you now. So I see her not necessarily being safe within the next 4 weeks anyway. So I think she will most likely use it on herself at some point. But I hope that she can last a few weeks longer. Whenever you are targeted this early on, it's very difficult to remain under the radar and get yourself out from under the target that has been placed on you. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I think she's, you know, the most likely to be voted out right now. But
yeah,
people are pulling for her and pulling for Steve in the house. So, I mean, it could still go either way, but hopefully she doesn't have to use it this week. That would be good because I would like someone to go home, to be honest, but.
Right. I would like someone to go home too, but not necessarily those two.
Right.
And I will say, Sam made me laugh repeatedly. I really fell in love with her. One of my favorite phrases of the Big Brother series came from her on the first episode where she said, "I'm sweating like a nun in a cucumber patch." That, I've never heard that before, but it's now in my arsenal and I'm going to use it more often than I should.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But time will tell. We'll see. How do you feel looking now that you've seen these players in action? How do you feel about your fantasy teams that we created.
I mean, it was a roller coaster because I did it just looking at the bios. And then right after that, I went and I watched the interviews, and I was like, I felt a little bit better in some cases and a little worse in others. And then when the episodes aired,
I felt a little better. As a reminder,
definitely.
As a reminder, on your team, you have Casey, Fessy, Haley, Angela, Steve, Rachel, Tyler, and Rockstar.
Correct.
On my team, Winston, Sam, Swaggy C, Scotty, JC, Brett, Caitlin, and Bailey. So which of those did you flip on after watching?
I don't know if I've flipped on anybody. I mean, obviously, I mean, when I chose Steve, I knew it was very likely that he would be the first or second out. And that's still a very good chance. But I do like him. I think the most that I'm down on is Casey. Honestly, she's just kind of...
That was your first pick?
Right. And she's not really doing anything for me. I think she'll go for a while, but she's... She doesn't really seem to have much of a personality. I'm loving Tyler.
And that could be due to her punishment, though.
It could be. I think she'll be a good competitor. So, but yeah, I think Tyler was a good pick. Rachel is one of my, I think Rachel's my favorite woman in the house. Rockstar is much better than I expected. So, yeah, I mean, Fessy is kind of, he's about what I expected. So the one regret is not choosing Scotty, probably.
That's interesting. I was looking at your team and thinking that there was anyone that I would switch. And honestly, I think Tyler was your second to last pick. And not because he won HOH, but because he seems to get along with everyone. His social game is pretty set.
I think he's doing great.
And he, and to be quite honest with you, the tears that he showed Steve, he tricked me because I thought, oh, those were genuine. And then it cuts right to his diver room and he's like, yeah, those were fake. And I thought, oh, it's pretty sly of you. Maybe you're a lot smarter than you look. So Tyler, I think, is definitely one to watch for now after seeing him compete, because before I didn't really figure he would do much. Usually the surfer types don't stick around too often.
No, and he showed that he was a big fan too. So I think he has some really good potential. You know, he's kind of a, I don't know, maybe like a Hayden analog sort of the season. So hopefully he can go that far. So is there anyone on your team you're down on?
Down on meaning?
Like you were expecting more of, but maybe you're not as...
Everyone kind of stuck to their stereotype. JC is on my team. I was expecting him to be audible. I can't understand a word that man says. they need to give him subtitles. And then, you know, Brett the douche was just that. I can't stand the way that he talks either. I can understand him, sadly, but he uses the word bro as a period, and it just annoys the piss out of me. And then, obviously, like I said before, Bailey has an attitude that I wouldn't recommend on a player. So those are my ones that I was aware of, but you know, at least they're safe this week, so I'll keep them around. I think it's a nice cast. I'm happy so far. Let's just keep it this way. It's still time for a returner to show up.
Not happening.
I can definitely see that being a twist, and I don't want it to be.
There's no way. have to believe them that they're not, it's not happening this time. So, and okay, backtracking a ton, but what was the point of having all the people from past seasons at the premiere to just like cut to them for like 1 second, not even like say anything about them or have them talk or say their names?
I think it was because of the milestone of season 20. There, I mean, to be on for 20 years, you have, I forgot the number that they mentioned, but there were, you know, hundreds of people that have walked through that house. And so I think that was more of just like a celebration is look how far we've come.
I guess.
Type thing.
It just seemed kind of like a waste. It was like, we didn't even know who, like, well, if you haven't watched, you don't even know half the people are. They broke the lower thirds out for Bunky, and that was about it. Okay. But Kacer was looking
good. Yeah, I will say, yeah, if you, for anyone listening, on the BB House Party Twitter, we did retweet the photo, the group photo of the, all the returning contestants that were out in the audience, and there were, I mean, they got people from every season, and I mean, some people were unrecognizable and some people looked better than they did before. So it was cool to look back and see how a few of them are doing. Did anyone in the group surprise you for being there?
I don't think so. There was some weird choices where like, if you said, oh, maybe only two people are coming per season, I wouldn't have chosen those people, but I guess it was probably just like whoever can make it, I would imagine. Like, I wouldn't think
I'm sure they sent out invites.
Right. So, because there was some like just some random people from some of the seasons.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what you're doing that you're too busy to get some screen time on CBS.
Some screen time, hey. Quote unquote.
Those 2 seconds, that's very important.
2 seconds. Bunky is glad that he came out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, Paul's always waiting by the phone as soon as Big Brother rings. He doesn't have anything to do.
He was right there in the middle of that picture.
Of course he was. Smug bastard. But he is, hopefully that'll be the last time we see him during the season. And the season will go off without a hitch, and I'm excited to see what the rest of this summer has in store for these guys.
What's the percentage chance you think of him hosting a comp this season?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. As I said, I hope it doesn't happen, but the way that Big Brother, for whatever reason, loves to put him on screen, I know that he will come back for a short comp.
Yeah, he'll probably host one of the ones that he was really good at or something. Wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean, he's done all of them like 3 or 4 times essentially, so he should be good at some of them. But yeah, oh yeah, I think it's inevitable. And one thing that I did notice last week, we talked about a Hollywood Reporter article that interviewed the contestants going in. And one of the things that I noticed was on a majority of the contestants, they asked their opinion on Dan Giesling. No other contestant, just straight up, what are your thoughts on Dan Giesling? Which is, okay, that may be true, but like, how random. Like, surely there's a reason for that. So I think he also has a good chance of showing up for something, maybe within the next week or so, maybe just coming and stopping by. And as we saw in the premiere with the audience being filled with past house guests, being season 20, I think there will be a lot of throwbacks, a lot of references. And so I think maybe that'll be a regular thing. You know, every, you know, veto comp or something, you'll have a host of a fan favorite.
Yeah, I think they will do that.
I can see that.
I think they already kind of did it with the surfing one. But there was that, rumor. I don't know if it was before the cast list was announced or right around that time, but they were saying that there was the possibility of 4 returning players. And at the moment, that hasn't panned out. But that's kind of the only situation where I would think they would bring someone like Dan back is multiple people.
They've already done that with him.
Oh, right,
they brought back 4 coaches. So I feel like that's already used up. And essentially, with the time frame that they've given us and the amount of contestants that they have, the only way that would really work is if they eliminated 4 of the contestants now and then brought in 4 returnees. That's the only way that it would ever mathematically fit into the schedule that they've given us.
Eliminate especially all at once.
Yeah, that's the only way that they could do that, especially since we know that there will be a eviction returnee competition at some point. So that even lessens that even more so.
Because I do think if that rumor was true, it would probably be a coaches type situation, because how many people were in season 14? Because they became players after, like, what, 4 evictions? So it's basically reset the game. But I don't know if it was 16 right. people or what.
Off the top of my head, possible, I don't know. But
I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is what we have, and this is going to be the season. And that's good. I'm definitely glad.
Yeah. And plus, they have a lot of twists and things happening already that, I mean, the App Store twist in itself is multiple twists within it. So I think by adding that whole coaches thing, I think you're switching it up just a little too much. I think people are going to start to be turned away because the rules are just kind of non-existent at that point.
I just hope that the app, when we're done with the App Store, that it's like we're done with the big, like we're done with that, you know. Don't pop up a Tree of Temptation or some other stupid twist when we're at the, when we're so many weeks in and we already finished the App Store. Like,
you don't want a halting hex?
No, I don't. I don't want apples or whatever would be on the technology tree. No.
Well, I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll have at least something else in their sleeve.
Yeah, I know. It's dreaming.
By the end of the summer, but
the greatest twist is no twist.
But I think
at this point, you know, BB20,
yeah,
the best
that would
twist
be the biggest
would be
switch up.
Too late for that, though. But
no, I think we're definitely down for some drama this season, just by judging by personality. And I think we haven't seen the twists of the BB App Store taken effect yet or being used. And I think because you're going to have, by the end of it, we think that this is going to go for at least 4 weeks. There's a reward and then there's punishment. So that's 8 different powers at play at a time.
I hope that
that's a
the
lot.
Punishments are, I hope they don't affect actual gameplay. Like, I hope they're, you know, eating ham.
Kind of like a have-not situation. Like, it messes with you, but not enough that it's game-changing.
Yeah, like last season, you know, Ramses has to put himself on the block in the first 3 weeks or whatever. That, come on with that. What kind of...
They just wanted to get rid of him.
I mean, basically.
Poor guy. Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow, I guess.
Another full week of Big Brother, and you and I will come back. We'll talk it up again like always, and we'll follow throughout the rest of the season and see what happens.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Again, I'm Ryan Duvall.
I'm Andrew Cox.
We'll see you next week.